Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We thank you so much for joining us. We recognize that you could have been anywhere on your radio dial, but we're certainly glad you decided to stop by here. So today will be our last open forum for 2013. So that means we're taking your calls on whatever you wish to ask about as far as marriage and relationships are concerned. So reach out to us. Give us a call. The number is 855-454-5905. Again, 855-454-5905. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon, and here is your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all our friends who are listening, whether here in Philadelphia, in Charlotte, or around the world, or on your telephone if you're listening on a smartphone. I want to give a special shout out to my wife and some of her friends who are traveling to South Carolina this morning. My beautiful, amazing wife and honey, they're out there helping a friend, and that's why they're driving down as we speak. But as always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. But before we do that, I want to encourage you, this is the last open forum. Now, that doesn't mean that this is our last show or anything like that. It just means that today specifically, you're able to call in and ask any question you want. There's nothing off topic, as long as it's about marriage and relationships. Well, the next few weeks, we'll be talking about finances as we get ready for the new year. We'll be talking about being content and even kind of make it a focus for singles who really struggle throughout this time of year. You know, they struggle, and married folks who might even be in a marriage but might be lonely. So we'll be talking about being content. And then finally, our last segment or our last show of the year, towards the end of this month, will be getting ready and planning an amazing 2014 with our relationship. So let's go to God in prayer. God in heaven, we are so grateful for you, Father. We are thankful that you give us opportunities to grow. You put us in situations, but we'll never attempt the beyond what we can bear. We might struggle, God, but we're not forgotten. Father, I do pray that you help us and be with me specifically so I can give advice and encouragement to those who need it most. We thank you so much for our listening audience. And as always, Father, we do pray that there will be those who perhaps were not even planning on listening, but they would hear exactly what they need to hear from you, God. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our theme scripture today comes from Philippians chapter 4. And, you know, I love this passage, but I must confess there are times that I read this scripture and I say, why, Jesus, why is it there? Because it is a challenge. And it simply reads, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know, Paul wrote this while he was in prison, and he's saying rejoice always. It doesn't say just rejoice when things are good. You know, we all here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, we love weddings like everyone else, right? We love that festive time, and even this time of year can be a challenge for different people. It means different things for different individuals. If you lost someone, a loved one during this time of year, usually those emotions come back. Sometimes this is the time of year where you're kind of getting it to the end of the year where you start reflecting and you feel like maybe you haven't accomplished everything you were hoping to accomplish. You know, it's a time of year where some people get really depressed. And at the same time, there are others who just absolutely love this time of year. Whatever it is for you, I do want to encourage you, rejoice always. That's what the Bible says. Rejoice all the time. And then it goes on and says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So no matter what you're going through, the Lord is near. And like we mentioned before, today here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, we're having an open forum, meaning that you can call us and ask whatever question you want. And I know some of you are already starting to call, and we'll get to your call in just a moment. We want to give this number out one more time.
And you can reach us at 855-454-5905. 855-454-5905. 1-800-875-5905. So let's get right to it. We have an anonymous caller from the Philadelphia area on line one. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. If you can do us a favor, just speak up just a little bit.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your call. What is your question for us this morning?
Is it wrong for me not to pray for my marriage?
Is it wrong not to pray?
Well, I
tell you this. You're not praying, and what is the reason?
I'm praying for his health. I'm praying for his safety. I'm praying for my health as well as my safety and for us as a male and a female, but not necessarily for our marriage. It's been 21 years now, and I'm just smothered. I can't literally spend time with my own dad. I can't have, like, girls' day with my sister, like, as far as lunch or going out just to spend time with fellowship, my members at church. When we do things at the church, it's constant calling, it's constant texting. Basically, if I'm not directly in my husband's face, mm-hmm. it's a problem.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like you're sleeping with the enemy. You remember that movie years ago, Sleeping with the Enemy? And it sounds like you're a prisoner in your own marriage. Now, a couple of things here, and we do want to respect the fact that you're calling anonymously, and we don't know the entire story, right? We're hearing this from you. But after 21 years, if you're at a place where you're praying for your husband but not for the marriage, that's really what you're saying, correct?
Yes.
And I think about this passage here in Luke chapter 6. It says, but I tell you, you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. And, you know, Jesus is preaching this. Now, I think what's happening is you want out of this marriage. So why would you pray?
Yes.
But do you believe God can change your husband?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that the goal should be.
But I've already changed. I've changed as a woman. I was 23.
Okay.
I've changed as a woman. I've matured. I've grown. I've tremendously, my prayer and my saved life has changed. And when asking my pastor the same question, the response was, you guys were unequally yoked when you married. And basically, that's a bullet you swallowed because you knew
sure.
that your husband was not saved when you guys were married. And it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm. But you know what you're saying, in essence, is saying that, okay, you made a mistake, and now you don't want to live with that mistake. And even in our mistakes, God can be glorified.
Okay.
And that's what I've learned. Was it God's will at the time? No, but guess what? God's will, a lot of times, and we don't talk about this enough, but God's will is to give us free will. So that means that God's will is for us to make our own decisions. For example, we know this, we all know the story, right? It's the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve. You know, God's will was for people to live in paradise, to be perfect, to never have to die. But he gave them a choice, and they decided to listen to the temptation. And because of that, you know, we inherited sin, and they made a choice. Now, the good news is that that's not the only Adam, right? Jesus was the new Adam, giving us a new opportunity. That's a sermon in itself. But I think that even in challenging situations, even in bad decisions, God can work. And I believe Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians 7. And he says, listen, this is how you can convert your unbelieving husband. And you don't know by your example, by your deeds, by really being committed, that's how you would change. And I would challenge you to pray for your marriage. This is your marriage. You wanted it. God allowed you to have it. After 21 years, it's not been easy. It's been a struggle. But God can change it. And what a testimony it would be when God changes this man because of you. Now, I'm not encouraging women to go out there and marry non-Christians so that they can convert them, but the fact that you already did would be the greatest testimony. Your greatest ministry right now is your husband. So you should be praying for the marriage.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's the question. Hopefully we answered it. Maybe not how you want it, but that's what the Bible teaches. And I would encourage you to study that scripture out, 1 Corinthians 7.
Okay.
Great passage. All right, thank you so much. We appreciate your call this morning.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we want you to stay right with us. It is an open forum today, our last one for 2013. So you have the opportunity to ask whatever question you have about your relationship. So give us a call, 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this. Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the midst of our open forum, the last one for 2013, actually. So you can call and ask whatever question you have about your relationship. If you're looking for some advice, that would be fantastic. You can call at 855-454-5905. Sorry, I got lost in the number. 215. Sorry. 855-454. Too many numbers. 5905. So go
say
ahead.
It
and
again.
Call
say it again.
No, get it right. No. All right. So let's go to another anonymous call from Charlotte. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning to you as well. How can we help you this morning?
Well, just to give you a little history. I always had a relationship with God, even though I didn't go to church as I when I was young. I got, like, molested by my mother's boyfriend when I was, like, 12. Then I got raped by two friends. And so I've been in bad relationships after bad relationships. So 2 months ago, because I've turned 40, now I'm going to be 50. I said, you know what, let me try something different. Maybe if I just try to be more into God and love him. Because I've never been married. So I've been celibate for about 2 months. And I stopped drinking, stopped doing everything. And so I told my friend that I didn't want to have sex no more. I just wanted to get into God. So he laughed. So we've still been friends, but I haven't been having sex.
Okay.
So yesterday he asked me to come over. He was like, he was going to try to change too.
Okay.
I went over there. I didn't have no sex or anything. But when I went over there, he had people over there, and everybody was drinking.
Okay.
And he knew that I had stopped drinking. And he asked me, did I want to drink? And I said, nah. I stayed for a few and was cordial to everybody. But then I wound up taking his friends home, and they had liquor and stuff, you know, with them.
Okay.
But I still didn't drink. I dropped them off.
My Good for
question
you.
Is, do I leave everybody alone that's drinking and not on the path where I'm trying to get to? How do I still remain a friend?
You know, that's a great question. And you know, it was interesting about that question. And by the way, I do want to say congratulations for turning your life around and being serious about changing. That takes a lot of courage and even a lot of humility to ask what you're asking right now. I'll share a scripture with you. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And so God knows, look, the people that you're around with will influence you. Let's be honest. We're all weak. The Bible says it. We try to act like we're all strong, but the reality is we're weak. However, if you're around a great support system, you can change. You can grow. And so the reality is, what do you do? Now, this is where it becomes tricky because some people say, well, Jesus hung out with sinners. Yes, but he influenced them. He wasn't getting drunk and sleeping around when he was with them. They changed. And I think sometimes we lie to ourselves and say, I'm going to be in an environment so I can change. No, that would have meant that if you went there last night, everyone would have stopped drinking because you were in the room and you were trying to challenge them or help them. That wasn't the case, right? They were still doing what they were doing, and it was a temptation. You were strong, but you might not be the next time. Those are not real friends. If they know specifically the friend you're referring to, the one that invited you, he knows you're trying to change your life and he invites you to this. I mean, really? I mean,
and ask me, did I want anything from the store?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, come on. You know, that's just, it blows my mind. But the Bible does teach, you know, people who are in sin want others to collaborate. I mean, you know, we know this stuff. But you're trying to be different. You need to start praying and looking for friends that have the same goals that you have, that are trying to change their lives, that are staying pure. You're 50 years old. You've been through a lot in your life. You're trying to turn it around. That's commendable. But you're not going to accomplish that hanging out with fools. That's what the Bible calls them. They're fools.
And, you know, I keep having these bad dreams, and I keep, like, somebody be saying, you know, go drink. But then I hear a voice, no, don't drink, because my blood pressure was getting high. I was going through so much. And I don't know, it just, I thought the Holy Spirit actually had left me. Mm. And I had been praying for him to come back, because I know I had just been doing so much wrong. I knew what I was doing was wrong.
So did you find a church? Are you in a good church community?
No, because I just moved to Charlotte, and most of the times I'm working on Sunday, and one of my cars are broke, so me and my son are sharing the same car. And then I can't go on Wednesdays because he's working. So most of the time I'm either listening to y'all shows or listening to y'all at the app. Just kind of keep the music.
Well, you're not alone. You know, there are some people that our station is their church, right? It's their community, their relationship. But I also think that we need some, as much as that's awesome and we're grateful for it and we don't want you to stop listening, I do want you to have some friends that you can talk to, and instead of giving you or asking you if you want a drink, they're giving you some encouragement. They're giving you some support, because that's what you're going to need. Let me tell you, it will get tough. You were strong last night, but there are going to be those times where the temptation to drink, it's going to be grave. You're going to struggle. But you if you're truly serious about changing, you got to change your relationships. I tell you something interesting. I know for a fact I would not be the husband that I am, the friend that I am to many, the man that I am today, if it were not for key relationships in my life that have helped me to be better. People who've mentored me, people who've encouraged me, even people who just listen to me, but I know they care, and they're not, you know, pushing me off the ledge when I'm about to jump. You know, it's like, no. And I don't mean literally, but, you know. So I do want to encourage you. You do need to find, I usually don't tell people this all the time, but I do know of a great church in the Charlotte area if you're interested.
Yes.
And it's a great, just the website is very simple, thecharlottechurch.com.
Okay, thecharlottechurch.com. Okay. I really appreciate you, because I've just been still feeling alone. And even though I'm praying, I'm seeking God, and it seemed like I'm not getting no answer, and I'm saying, you know, I don't know. Like, I know that he answered you, I guess, when he wants to, and I'm trying to do the right thing, and it's just, you know, and then I'm kind of lonely as well.
Yeah, and that's understandable. And I'm sorry, I said thecharlottechurch.com, but it's thecharlottechurch.org. Okay, thecharlottechurch.org, and let us know if you have a great experience or whatever kind of experience you have. Hopefully, it'll be great. Let us know. Give us a call, and you know, let us know how things are going. We'll be praying for you. This is a time of year where a lot of people get lonely. Don't get caught up, unless you're gonna get caught up to heaven.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, you have a blessed holiday, and thank you so much for calling us.
All right. Likewise. Take care. If you're just tuning in, this is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're taking your calls at 855-454-5905. Let's go to New Jersey and speak with Jane on line 5. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, everyone. The issue that I'm dealing with is a domestic violence issue. My husband committed domestic violence upon me. And I've been searching in the Bible, and I've looked at Matthew 19:3-9 and Malachi 2:14-16. But, you know, I don't want my marriage to end, but I don't know where to go.
Well, Jane, a couple of things. So your husband was abusive. Did he, like, put his hands on you? Was it physical abuse?
Yeah.
Did you call the police and report him?
Yeah.
Okay, so is he detained right now?
He was, but he's out.
Okay, and is he back in the house? Are you?
No.
Okay, so you're safe right now.
Well, oh yeah, I'm safe. We've been talking and and apologies have been, extended to me, and talking about some of the things that have been, going on.
Mm.
And I'm just lost.
Okay, so what do you want to do? Do you still love your husband?
Yes.
And do you want to work this out and forgive him? Okay. Well, I tell you what you should do, okay? And it's based on a biblical principle. In 2 Corinthians 7, Paul had just, this is his second letter to the church in Corinth. And in the first letter, he reprimanded, he rebuked the church because they were very ungodly. They were doing things that absolutely no one should be doing, but definitely not at church. I mean, they were getting drunk over the communion. They were having lawsuits. I mean, you name it, they had it going on. It was not a great community. And so he was very hardline, loving, but hard, and rebuked them. And in 2 Corinthians, he talks about their repentance. By the way, this included the fact that they thought they had a better way of dealing with sexual sin and sexual immorality, and they allowed a guy in their fellowship who was sleeping with his stepmother to remain in the fellowship. So all these things were happening. It was really bad. Not a good sight. Not your model church by any means. But in 2 Corinthians 7, he talks about the repentance that the church had, the repentance they made. And then he goes on and he describes there's a difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. And what that means is that there's a difference. You can both be sorry. Like right now, you got to ask yourself, how do you know if your husband has true sorrow and it's not just an emotion, even if he has tears? You know, there are people right now who are very regretful, but they're not regretful and sorry because of what they committed, but they're really, in some sense, they're more sorry that they got caught as opposed to the fact that they know they hurt God and they hurt the people they love. And so there are two things. The Bible says that worldly sorrow brings death and godly sorrow brings life. But I love what he says here, and I'm going to read this to you. It says, see what this godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. You know what I love about this? There's a fruit that comes from godly sorrow. And there's a fruit that comes from worldly sorrow. The worldly sorrow fruit is death. There's no change. And I think what you need to do, Jane, my encouragement is you need to listen to your husband's actions and not his words. You can't trust his words. So if his actions are saying he's truly sorry, is he willing to do whatever it takes? Is he going for anger management? Is he being open? If you suggest counseling, is he open to counseling? If you go to church together, is he willing to be open with other men in his life and be transparent about his struggles and his temptations and what led to him literally not just wanting to hit you, but actually putting his hands on you? I mean, what is he willing to do? And if he's hesitant, if he's dismissive, if he's defensive, then that's not godly sorrow. If you, for example, have a talk with him, you say, listen, I'm going to have a hard time trusting you. And his attitude is, well, why can't you trust me? I thought you forgave me. That's not godly sorrow. But if his attitude is like, I understand why you won't trust me. I've broken that trust. Please forgive me. Let's work together. Help me so we can rebuild this. That's a different heart. So really listen to the heart that your husband has, because he needs help. For him to get to that point of actually striking you and hitting you, you don't want to be in a relationship with someone like that unless they're absolutely doing whatever it takes to change and to repent. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And you know, deep inside in your heart, you know your husband. How long have you been married?
5 years.
In 5 years. You've gotten to know this man in 5 years in a way that probably no one else does. Don't try to talk yourself out of this. Like, literally look at the facts. And that's why I think it's so helpful to have other people in your life. A pastor and his wife, a good spiritual couple from your church that can tell you what they think. Has this man really changed? Because you can't trust yourself as well. You're too involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right, Jen. Jane, we appreciate you calling us, and we hope and pray that this direction, that you ask God for wisdom in the sermon to be able to see what kind of sorrow your husband has.
Yeah. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you, too.
Take care. Bye-bye. Let's go to Pam calling in from Macon, Georgia. Pam, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Marco. Good morning, sweetheart.
Hi.
Good morning, Pam. And you're listening to us via an app or on the internet or how?
No, I'm on a home phone.
Oh, okay. No, but how did you hear our show?
A friend of mine gave me this number, and as a matter of fact, they told me it on a three-way, and I've been listening to it, and I said, oh, my God.
Wow, so you're listening on the phone, literally. Wow, well, Pam, thank you so much. Well, for all of those, if you're just tuning in, this is Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station, and I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and Pam is calling us from Macon, Georgia. So what can we do for you this morning?
Well, first of all, I have a dear friend that has been in a marriage for approximately about 3 years. Mm-hmm. He's very dedicated to his marriage. He loves his wife unconditionally. He went out of town. He worked all the time. And she would come back and forth to the job where he worked at, you know, on his work site. And they got married. So he went out of town. They were supposed to be taking the vacation together. He mm-hmm. waited 3 years for this vacation.
Okay.
It was like a second honeymoon to them. And I mean, you can still see his eyes just light up when he see her every time she would stop by.
Okay.
And she went. She didn't go. I don't know why she didn't go with them, but he went to Florida.
Okay.
And she's supposed to have joined him later on, but she never showed.
Wow.
And she encouraged him to stay another week. And
so she didn't want him around?
When he got back home, mm-hmm. she had moved.
Wow. So she was getting ready to leave, and this was part of her plan.
It was part of her plan. And this is a man who brought all the money home.
Okay.
Let her manage the money. There's nothing in this world that she even thought about wanting that he didn't try to provide.
So why did she leave? I'm curious. Did she tell him why?
Well, no. And I find out that this is a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
This is what she does. She get all she can get.
Okay.
As we would call them being a gold digger.
Okay, so but if she's a gold digger, then why would she leave when she had everything paid for? I'm trying to wrap my brain around.
The point that I didn't understand was that she waited till she got all that she wanted. It was a new car.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now she got the new car and everything, you know. And when he got back, you know, she had moved out and moved in with someone else.
Okay.
And he was asking her, you know, what happened, you know? I mean, why we're not in our house? What happened? And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the answer was, but he's staying in a hotel.
Wow.
And when he came to me and told me that what happened, you know, I was like, you know, you can't tell someone, well, I've heard this is a pattern.
Mm.
Especially someone's husband about his wife, you know, that's not what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you just got to pray about it, you know, and just keep a faith before the Lord, you know. And I know, you know, maybe, you know, he's going to work it out. He's going to give you the answer that you need. But, you know, I don't have an answer, you know. And I mean, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know what to say.
So your question is, how do you encourage him during his time of grief and pain that he's enduring because his wife left him?
I mean, and not only that, I mean, like his like his work, like the job that he had,
mm-hmm.
they have reduced his days, you know, to X amount of days, you know. I don't want to put too much out there in case someone is listening.
Oh, there are a lot of people listening. But,
yeah,
but Pam, a couple of things.
My heart goes out for him, you know. And I mean, and he still loves her,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what. He loves her unconditionally. And this is a female who goes to church, goes to Bible class on Wednesday, you know. I mean, I said, what's going on? I mean, where you at? She's at Bible study, you know, blase, blase. She's at the church, you know.
I got you. I got you. Pam, let me just mention this, and maybe it doesn't necessarily apply, but I do think that I'm not saying you shouldn't care, but just be careful that you don't overstep your boundaries and try to help your friend, the man, the husband, and cross lines, like invite him to stay with you.
Oh, no.
Because it just sounded a little bit like you're getting really attached. Because I don't know if you're married or single, but this can be a temptation as well to get involved with someone.
Because I look at him as like a brother.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, just in case.
I look at him as like a brother, you know. You know, there's nothing intimate there. There could never be nothing intimate there. Once I look at you like a brother, that's all you ever be in my life.
Okay.
As my brother in Christ.
Amen. Well, amen for you, just in case. That's not what he may
but you
be
know,
thinking.
But no, and I mean, you know, the temptation is not there with him, with me. Is that, you know, he just needed somebody just, you know, to reach out and just have an ear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not asking for anything. You know, I mean, he's...
I got you.
I mean, still he calls him.
I got you. So let me give you a scripture. If you want to encourage him with a scripture, I think this can be a great scripture to help him with. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And I'm going to read it for you, okay? It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Meaning that whatever he's going through, God knows he can handle.
Yes.
This is not going to break him. It's going to hurt him, and he's going through a hard time. But he's going to be okay because God knows this is something he can handle.
Amen.
Pam, thank you so much. We do appreciate
God
you calling
bless
us.
You.
And thank
God
you for
bless
listening
you.
From Macon, Georgia. We appreciate your call.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Pam. Have a blessed day.
Take care.
Have a blessing, too.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Tina calling in from Philadelphia. Tina, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. We
are so grateful to be alive and grateful to be able to share our hearts this morning with many callers and even listeners. So, Tina, we thank you so much for calling.
How you doing, Marcus?
I'm great.
I'm Marcus. I spoke to you one time at Sharon. It was open floor. And my husband had cheated on me a year before.
Okay.
I mean before it was our 1-year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And I asked you, how could I not keep on nagging him and how could I forgive him or whatever?
Okay.
And you told me to keep on praying for him. I'm a little nervous, but
okay.
You said that he's here with you, and we came up in the middle of the floor. He was like he's here with you, so he's trying. But anyway, long story short,
this was at one of our conferences, correct?
Yeah,
probably
exactly.
Our inspiration and music conference, probably.
Yes, it was Sharon.
Oh, the one at Sharon Baptist. Okay, one of our local churches here in Philadelphia. Okay, yeah. So you came together. And and I gave you some advice, and this was a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh. This was in, like, I got married in 08. This was, like, 09, the ending, the ending of 09 or whatever.
Okay. So even 4 years ago. This is one of our very first, when we first started our show here. Okay. So you came out, and so what's happening? What's going on in your life now?
Well, basically, I thought that we was doing okay. We have a blended family. His two boys live with us, and my nieces and nephew live with me. And now that it's just been crazy, but we was doing good, and I thought we was okay. So I have angina, a heart disease, and high blood pressure.
Wow.
So my sister started coming over because one of my sisters died last year. She was 33 years old. And my sister was telling me some things that her boyfriend was telling her about my husband. So I said, you know, I can't do the he say, she say stuff, but I can go to my husband because he said if I had taken him back and we went to cancer, I could come to him with anything.
Okay.
So when I came to him about the situation, hun, if you feel there's some type of kind of way for me doing or going to help my son father for cooking, you should have said so because you the head, regardless that you don't go to church, you the head, and I still want to honor what you say.
Okay.
And I'm not perfect, Mr. Marcus.
I know that. I know you are. but all right. So you felt like your husband was totally fine with you going and helping and serving. You know, just doing the right thing. But he didn't feel right. He had some reservations.
Well, a week later, I heard him on the phone, and you can hear through cell phones, and he was like, call me back. It was something, and I know he was lying, but I didn't know how to approach him, so I started getting sick because angina brings weakness of the heart. So
okay.
I came to him when I was sick, so I don't be loud because I am a very loud person, and
okay.
I'm trying to be meekness. So he said, well, if you want to believe what your sister them say, I'm leaving. So my husband left to go to his sister's house.
Okay.
And he said that, and I need the truck. Now, it's a truck. It's a family truck. It's
okay.
a Denali I had bought.
Okay.
And I'm confused because I want to know. He said if I had a heart, I should give it to him. And I said, hon, it's a truck. You chose to leave, even though I do have another vehicle. And he had two work vans. Well,
oh.
one now.
Okay.
And I said, but it's our marriage. I said, you chose to leave, and it's our marriage. What do I do in this case? And we've been talking and texting on the phone. He want to come past and do marriage things for us. We sleeping.
Yeah, he wants to be intimate, but he left. He abandoned the house. Are you sleeping together?
Yes, we. Be honest. Yes, we have.
Okay. Well, I want you to know, Tina. It's not sin. He's your husband, but I don't
right.
think it's necessarily wise until you. Mm-hmm. fix some things, because here you are fighting about a vehicle, he's out of the house, but then he comes home and sleeps with you. It only complicates things more. The
right.
Bible, you know, it doesn't, you know, we know God doesn't want divorce and even doesn't want relationships to be broken, but there are
right.
times where you can separate, but it should only be for a time. Like, it shouldn't
right.
be, and then you come together, but when you come together, you should be together, not come together, you know, for a moment to be intimate and then leave again, and then the issues are not being dealt with. So I think a few things, Tina, it
mm-hmm.
sounds like you need some outside help. Like, you and your husband are not seeing eye to eye. Who's in your life? Who can you talk to that will help you?
I'm talking to some sisters, and, you know, they tell me to be humble and stay still. My girlfriends, like, but I'm going to tell you the truth, Marcus. I did take off my ring when he was here because he was leaving again.
Mm.
But when I seen him and he didn't have on his ring, it hurted me to my heart. So it was like, what's good for the gander is good for the goose.
Okay.
But he left 2 days before my birthday, and we had tore down the kitchen. And Thanksgiving, we couldn't even have it here because my husband is awesome with his hands. God gave him some good hands to build and do things. And I want to do things with him. But, like, I made up in my mind a couple of days ago, like, I need to shut it down because I asked him, where are we going from him? And he keep on saying, I don't know. Well, this has been October the 14th, and you don't know where we're going?
Yeah.
And so I'm continuing to go to church. And I asked my husband, if you find a church that you feel good to, I will follow you.
Yeah.
But you have to be sincere. And he wanted me to get out of church and everything. And I don't feel as though that I should have to leave the church for something that you did.
No, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And I think you're right. You know, God first, then your husband.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem, Tina. He is not resolved. There are bigger issues. This is bigger than you. He
yes,
needs help. Let me tell you, this is the hardest thing, and it happens more with men. I'm not saying it never happens with women, but it happens more
right.
with men because men get so proud, and they're not willing to be open and get help. See, women usually talk. So you call
right.
your girlfriend, you vent. They tell you something. They might even pray with you, even if it's a crazy girlfriend. At least you got it out, right? You
right.
vented. But
mm-hmm.
men sometimes, in their pride, they just want to come up with the solution, and he's only making matters worse. So he might
yeah.
have a moment of weakness or a moment of missing you. He comes over, but he's still not resolved. He's
right.
he's torn, and his approach is like a child. Now,
right.
I need to ask you this question. It would help me in helping you.
Okay.
Is he on drugs? Is he abusing alcohol? Does he drink a lot? I mean,
His mom did that pass 2 years ago, and even before that, he was drinking a lot. And we do have a son together.
Okay.
And we got in one small complication, and my oldest son jumped in, and which who don't live here, to get him off of me. And this was the first time, pretty
yeah.
much, my husband ever touched me. And I don't know what's he going through things because people grieve different,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want him to go to jail, and he did wind up going to jail for a week. But my son they was fighting or whatever, and my oldest son, and he's 20.
So he hit your son?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he hit you?
My oldest. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My husband was pretty much choking me.
Okay, so Tina, now this changes everything, okay? Your husband doesn't just have a little problem and struggling with something. He has a major problem. He's out of control. It would be crazy of you to just take him back unless he changes. And I believe it was the previous caller, and I gave some advice to, it was Jane called. And I said, listen, there's a difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Your husband needs to go to rehab. He needs to go to an AA meeting. I mean, and I don't mean one. I mean, he needs to commit himself to this. And he needs to show that he's different. He needs anger management. He needs to apologize to your son. He needs to apologize for you. And I'm not talking about an apology like, I'm sorry that I did this, but, you know, you got me upset. Right. I'm talking about truly owning his sin and dealing with it, because he's not going to be able to. He's so out of control. Even if he wanted to, he has no direction, no self-control. And it starts with, you know, and that's what they tell you in a 12-step program. They will tell you the very first thing is admitting that you have a problem. And so if he's not even willing to admit this and get help, then how can you take him back? And that makes sense now. I'm wondering, like, why? This guy got a work van. You have a car. Why are you guys fighting over something as stupid as a vehicle? But it's because there's something else is going on. Tina, you need to stand your ground, and I mean this, and loving your husband enough to say, we can't be together until you get some help. Because it's dangerous for you, number one. It's dangerous for your family. But number two, he'll never get it. This might be, you're taking a stand might be the best chance he has of getting it.
Okay,
Tina. But, you know, just and look, there are so many opportunities to get the help. You don't even have to take him by the hand. I mean, it's not hard to find some kind of 12-step program.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he just needs to do it.
Okay, because he told me that. I asked him, I said, well, let's go to counseling. I even said before that, now that his kids don't live here anymore, he just telling everybody that I got an orphan in the home and I'm just taking all the kids. But now your kids don't live here. And I love your kids because kids are kids.
Yeah, he's out of control, innocent. Tina, he's out of control. You're trying to deal
and
with.
He said, go to counseling, but he said, I need to go to counseling. He said, no, you need to go.
Okay.
So I said, okay.
And you know what you do? You need counseling to know how to deal with him.
Okay.
Okay, but he needs counseling for himself.
Okay.
All right, Tina.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you calling.
Right.
God bless.
Take care. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on your inspiration station. Sorry, I'm like doing two things at one time on your inspiration station. We're welcoming your phone calls. It's an open forum today, so you can call in with whatever question you have about your relationship. And the number is 855-454-5905. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back with more conversation after this.